holding on Membez and Morales. I just started. We're holding on Membez and Morales, the top line. Hey, we learned yesterday about a machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim, whether it's possible to be Meshacher half of an Eved. We talked about the possibility that we're talking about the Kesef, or are we talking about the Shtar, or are we talking about maybe about both? So, Amar Rabba, machlokes b'shishicher chetzi v'iniyach chetzi. This whole machlokes between Rebbe and the Rabbanan is only if the master had freed half the slave and left the other half of him still a slave. Because then, according to the viewpoint that you can only be Meshacher, the whole Eved, based on the Gzeirah Shavah that we learned yesterday from the word law in the case of a woman, just like a woman can't be half divorced, neither can an Eved be half free. But suppose that the master freed half the Eved and then sold the other half. And Rashi says it can either be, there's two possibilities. One is that it can't be first he freed the half and then he sold the other half, because then for a moment there you've got half of him is free and half of him is slave, and the Chachamim say that doesn't work. It has to be, therefore, Rashi says, the first he sold half of him, then he's freeing the other half that he has kept. So then the Eved is still staying a full Eved, it's just now he's owned by two different people. Or Rashi says it could also be that it was Bevasachas, that he did both things at the same time. So that would work. Enough in Matana Chet, or he gave the other half of him as a Matana. Then, since the whole Eved leaves the reshus of the owner, now half of him belongs to one person and half belongs to the other, then fine, give her half of Kana. Everybody would agree that, now the whole thing has left the owner. Now it's true this person is a Chetzi Eved and Chetzi Ben Chorin, but it was accomplished. It's not the master himself doesn't still own half of him, because first he gave away or sold half of it. Therefore, Jibra Hakol Kana. Therefore, Rava said everybody would agree that in that case it is Kona, the other person was Kona the one half, and the Eved is Kona the other half, and now he's a Chetzi Eved v'Chetzi Ben Chorin.
If he sells first and then...
Yeah.
The other way around.
The other way around wouldn't work, because that would be what the Chachamim are saying. Can't do that. Omele Abayo, Kula Leitzligi. What, you're telling me that even if he gave away the whole Eved, so again, half of him he sold and half of him he's freed or whatever, Leitzligi, you're telling me that the Chachamim would not argue with Rebbe and say that even that wouldn't work? But we have two braises. One braises has a kosev nechasev l'shnei avodim. If somebody writes a shtar saying that he's giving his property away to his two avodim, kanu, then they both acquired the property. Each of them gets half. Or meshacherin zeh, and then each of them can be meshacher each other, because each one now has a, when they split up the nechasim, each one now has half of the other one, and therefore they can be meshacher them. Well, maybe they have to be Meshach for them, because each one is a Chetzi Eved, a Chetzi Ben Chorin. So that's one right. So the Tanya Idach. On the other hand, we have another right. If somebody says, all my Nechasim are given away to Pliny and Pliny, my slave, they haven't even, then not only do they not acquire the Nechasim, they haven't even acquired themselves. So here Rashi's talking about, actually, HaKosim Nechasim V'Shnei Avodim, we'll actually be talking about the first case, rather, Akosim Nechasim L'Shnei Avodim, we'd be talking about, he wrote two stories. Each one he wrote that all my Nechasim go to one of the Avodim. And it was done with Vasachat. He gave them to one Shliach to acquire it on behalf of the two of them. But then you have another Braisa that says that if he says, all my Nechasim go to Pliny and Pliny my slaves, then they don't even acquire themselves. My Lab HaRevi V'HaRabbanon. Shouldn't we assume then that the first Braisa would be according to Rebbe, that says that it's possible for one person to free half his slave and make him a Chetzi Eved v'Chetzi Ben Chorin. The other one would be according to the Rabbanon that would say not. Now, what do we have in this case? We have that, again, since the two shtaris were written and both given to the Shliach to be Zoyche on behalf of the Avodim at the same time, exactly. Hello. So that would be the case that Rabbi is talking about, that he gave away half the Eved, he gave away half the Eved, and was Meshacher the other half. And it seems, if we say that the second Braisa goes according to the Chachamim, that doesn't work. Therefore, both of them are still considered Avodim, and therefore they're not Kona any of the Nechasim, much less themselves, then that would mean that Avodim disagree even in that case. And so it's loy, not necessarily. I divided upon him. You could say that both brises are according to the Rabbanan. The difference is hada amar kuloi, hada amar cheti cheti. One is talking about, the first case is talking about, like we said, he wrote two shtaris. Each shtar said, I'm giving all my nechasim to Pliny. So since both shtaris came out at the same time, then each one is kona everything that he's able to, basically. So therefore, each one is kona half of himself and half of the other one. And therefore that works, because that's what Rav is saying, and then such a thing would work. The second case, though, is talking about that he didn't write in each shtar, he didn't say the whole thing. He wrote one shtar saying, I'm giving half of my nechassim to one eved. The other one says, I'm giving half my nechassim to the other eved. So therefore, what it comes out to is, with each shtar, you're saying, I'm being meshachre one half of the eved, because I'm giving away one half of the nechassim to him, so I'm freeing one half of him, and I'm keeping the other half for myself. And the rabbanim say, that's what we said yesterday, that doesn't work.
But when you give the nechassim to the eved, keep the eved, you don't keep...
No, that's the thing. The eved himself is part of the nechassim. The eved himself is part of the nechassim. So if you're giving all your nechassim, then fine, the eved is included. If you're giving half the nechassim, then it means you're only giving half the eved. And so therefore, Rashi says, even if it were to be...
You can't give half the nechassim to the eved and keep the eved full.
Well, no, because Mashkan Eved Kana Rata. If you're keeping him with a full eved, then there's no nechassim go to him. Everything that he owns belongs to you anyway. It has to be. If you're giving away half the nechassim, it means you're making him half free. And the Rabbanan say that making the slave half free doesn't work. Unless you're also giving away the other half at the same time. So the first case is talking about that. The second case is not. And therefore, Rashi points out, even if it was Bavasachas, it still wouldn't work. Tosfos has a bit of discussion about the fact is, the second braisa did say kol nechassai. Why should we assume that why should we assume that it's half and half? On the face of it, it means that he said kol nechassai, assuming the pliny of pliny avodai to pliny and pliny my slave. But he didn't say, the braisa didn't say anything about chesi. Why should we assume that it means he meant to give half to one and half to the other? Maybe it means that he's giving all of it to the two of them jointly.
Why should it mean? It means he gives all his nechassim to one.
In the first case, that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. He's giving two shtaris at the same time. One says all my nechassim go to Pliny. The other one says all my nechassim go to Pliny. And we're saying that as long as they were given b'vas achas, that works. But why would we be saying if the second braisa also says the words kol nechassai? If the second braisa says the words kol nechassai. Yes, it mentions plenty of plenty of avodai. Why should we assume that it means that he wrote half to one and half to the other, like Rashi says?
Oh,
why shouldn't we assume that it means he wrote all my nechassim go to Reuven and Shimon my avodai, and then each of them, it doesn't mean that he said a particular half goes to one and a particular half goes to the other. They become like partners. Partners, as long as they have a partnership, own everything jointly. Why shouldn't we say that this is the same thing over here? Well, that's what we're asking. That's what the Rashbam is asking in Tosfos. So the Rashbam wants to explain that Rabbah himself holds in a few places in Shas that something that cannot be done with Zach Hazeh, something where it's not valid if you do things two things in succession, that it doesn't work for halacha even if you actually do the two of them at the same time. In this case, it doesn't work one after the other, because if you were to give to one and then give to the other one, the second one wouldn't be effective.
Right.
Therefore, even Ravasachas doesn't work. Therefore, even Ravasachas, it doesn't work. Tosfos continues to ask on that. That's in that case. Then what's the difference?
If you give to both, they're both freed at the same time.
Well, Tosfos asks a little differently, actually. What's the difference in the first situation than when you had two stories? So Tosfos discusses it further and says that.
Possible?
No, when we say chesi chesi, it goes back basically to what Rashi is saying. There's about six different opinions in showing him what exactly it means chesi chesi over here. But basically, that's what it boils down to. That it is. We are actually talking about that he didn't say all of it goes to one as well as all of it goes to the other, because that would be the first case. Rather, he's saying half goes to one and half goes to the other, and therefore each one winds up with half of himself and half of the other, and it goes according to the Rabbanan, and that doesn't work. the Chazon Ish points out a cute thing about it. He says, if you think about it, then each Eved, if you're giving him all the Nechassim, which means that he owns now half of the other Eved, but only the half of him who is a Ben Chorin is able to own property. The other half of him who is an Eved is not. So it comes out that each one owns a half of each other. Each one owns a half of the other, but also then each one owns a quarter of the other half, and each one owns an eighth of that remaining quarter, and so on and so forth. And no matter what, ultimately you have some part of it still belongs to the master, some infinitesimal amount. So he says, okay, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. When you give to a half Eved, and when you give to a chetzi Eved, a chetzi ben Chorin, you're giving it what's acquiring it is only the chetzi ben Chorin. The chetzi Eved is not coming into the picture at all. He's not acquiring anything because he can't. Anything that he owns that belongs to his master. Yeah. Okay. So in the Gemara asks, Vomit say, so what about, how can you say that that's what the Braisa means? That one Braisa is talking about, we said that we wrote two shtaris, each one mentioning the whole thing, and the other one is talking about you wrote two shtaris, let's say each one mentions a half, or one shtar that each mentions a half. Vomit Katani say, for the Imam Chatsi Chatsi Laikonu, the Braisa continues that if you wrote half and half, then they're not koinim. Which implies the second case, the second braisa, must be talking about that you gave the whole thing. But then the only way to explain it would be that in order that the first two braisas don't contradict each other, would have to be one's a koin to Rebbe, one's a koin to the Chachamim. But you don't want to say that because that'll contradict Rabba. So how does that work? The answer is Purushi Kamifarish. The third braisa is not coming to tell us a different case than the second one. It's explaining the second one. That af asman leikonu. The second braisa said af asman leikonu, that you give it away to Pliny and Pliny, then we're saying they don't even acquire themselves. They themselves are still considered full-fledged up of him, and they haven't been coined to anything. So the third braisa is telling us af asman leikonu. Ketzad, how is that that they're not even coined to themselves? To go into amachetzi chetzi, if he says half and half. As opposed to, so you have only two cases. One where he said all to one and all to the other, where then each one acquires half of the other one. And the other one where he said half to one and half to the other, and then that doesn't work.
Because he couldn't say it any other way.
Well, that's because unless we want to contradict Rabba, right. Yeah, we want to say that everything is according to the Chacham, yes.
Right.
And the Gemara says, "Halchi nami mistaber." In fact, it seems logical to understand the Braisa that way. Because if you're going to tell me that the second case of the Braisa, the second Braisa, is talking about where he actually said Kuloi, not where we're saying Chesi Chesi, where he said half goes to one and half goes to the other, but rather if we were to think that the second case is talking about he said all to one and all to the other, and you were going to say that Rebbe and the Chachamim are arguing on that, you can't do that. Half to Oma Kuloi Leikonu, Oma Chesi Chesi Mibaya. Of course, the Braisa continues telling us about the case of Chesi Chesi, half and half. Now, obviously, if you're not even Kuloi, if the Chachamim, if by assumption the second braisa was according to Chachamim, and they were going to say you're not even koina if you were makna everything to one eved and everything to the other eved, how much more so if you were only makna half to one and half to the other? You wouldn't need to say it. I think my answer is that hinishum halayir. Yeah, no, that's not. If it's just because of that, you can't necessarily prove anything from that, because you could say tana sefer legalayir resha. You could say just that the second case, the case of Chesi Chesi, is coming to tell us to clarify the Reisha, to clarify the previous case of Kuloi. Shaloi toima Reisha d'ama Chesi Chesi. Don't think maybe that the Reisha, meaning the second Reisha, is talking about where he said Chesi Chesi, like we wanted to explain before in order not to slog up Rabba. Aval ama Kuloi konu, but if you were to say Kuloi, then they would be konu. Don't say it like that. Tana sefer d'ama chetzi chetzi mikra reisha d'ama kuloi. So no, therefore the third case tells us that he said chetzi chetzi to clarify that in the second case it means as opposed to the reisha, the second case where he said kuloi, where he said the whole thing. And nevertheless, after the hachi lekanu, nevertheless they're not kainer. So you can't prove. We were trying to prove that we were trying to prove from the wording of the braisa itself that it fits with what Rabba is saying. We're saying based on the wording of the braisa itself, you can't do that. We can say, at least we can't use that braisa to shlug up Rabba, but we also can't use it as support for him, because we could understand it, we could understand it either way. We could understand that the braisa is presenting a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. The first case would be according to Rebbe, the second case, which would also be Kuloi, would be according to the Chachamim, and the third case of Chesi would be to clarify that in the second case we meant Kuloi. Or we could understand, like Rabba wants to, or like we would want to in order to fight him for Rabba, that the first case is talking about Kuloi, according to the Chachamim. The second one is talking about Chetzioi, also according to the Chachamim. And the third one is, and the third one is clarifying. The third one is clarifying. What did I mean by kula? In the second case, I meant chesi chesi. I meant half and half. The ibay sema, or another way you could look at it, another way you could answer these two prices, like kasha, kan b'shtar echad, kan b'shnei shtaris. Up until now, we were assuming that everything was being done in two shtaris. That you had two shtaris, each of which said kuloi, or two shtaris, each of which said chesiyoi. We don't have to do that. We can also say that we're talking about one case is that there was one shtar written. The other case is that there were two separate shtaris written. Namely, Rashi says, if you have one shtar and you wrote that all my nechassim go to Pliny and Pliny, then that wouldn't work. The same way we learn it by Zera, we learn the whole concept of a get shichur from a get isha, by Zera Shava from a get. Yeah, just like by a get isha, you can't have one get being used to divorce two women.
So why can we say it's one shtar then?
No, that's the thing. If it's one shtar, then you have a problem. Then it's not kana. That would be the second, and that would be the second and third cases. With one shtar that's mentioning both abadim. So that wouldn't work. The same way as one get can't be used for two women, even if both their names are written in the same get, the same way a shtar.
We don't need a bracha.
No, but we do. We need to be told that the same din that applies to a get isha applies to a get shichur. Otherwise, we wouldn't know. The other case we'll be talking about is two different shtaris. So each shtar says I'm being matna all my nechassim to one eved. The other one says the other eved. So then fine. So the Gemara asks the shtar echad, my hu yechatzi chatzi, yefil ol mekulu nami lekonu. Fine, but if it's in one shtar, then why does the Braisa need to tell us the case where you said chetzi chetzi, where you're saying half goes to Reuven and half goes to Shimon? According to what we just said, even if you were to say that all of it goes to Reuven and all of it goes to Shimon, but it was all in one shtar, it wouldn't be koine. Or you said all of it goes to Reuven and to Shimon. Again, the same thing as a get, you can't say I'm using this get to be Megarish Rochel and Leah. So why is the Braisa telling us a case of chesi chesi as if to imply that if you did kula it would be fine? When if you're going to say again the three Braisas that we have, if you're going to say the first Braisa is talking about two shtaris, the second one is talking about one shtar, and the third one is also talking about one shtar, why bother even mentioning the case of chesi chesi?
We know it doesn't go.
So it's hachi namakomer. Yes, that's exactly what the Braisa is trying to tell us. It's clarifying. The second Braisa had finished off that, if they do it like that, then they're not even kohen themselves. They themselves still remain avodim, and then the chassim still belong to the owner. When is all this talking about? If it's one shtar, but if it were to be two separate shtaris, they would be kohen themselves, as well as they each be kohen a part of the nechas, half of the nechasim, and then they could free each other, like the first Braisa had said. But if in the shtar he wrote half goes to one, half goes to the other, then then it wouldn't work even with two shtaris, because that's what Rabbi was saying before, that if one's the chachamim, you can't do that. You can't say that I'm giving half of my eved away and keeping the other half. You can't do that according to the Rabbanan, according to the Rebbe. With two shtaris, you can't do that. That's what we're saying. So if you do chesi chesi, in other words, it wouldn't work whether it was one shtar or two shtaris. If you're doing kula,
you one shtar, because in any case you couldn't do it because
you one shtar for two avodim, exactly.
Right.
So if you're using two shtaris, if each shtar says kula, then you're in good shape. That's the first braisa. If each one says chetzyoi, then you're no good. The iboy sema loikasha, or yet another possibility. We could explain the braisas are talking about yet another possibility. One case could be talking about where you gave the two shtaris to a shliach to be koina for them at one time. So both braises would be talking about where you spent kuloi. So when does it work when you gave them both over vasachas? When does it not work when you did vasachaset? If you did vasachaset,
two shtaris go.
You're giving both of them to the shliach at the same time. You're handing them both of them at the same time. Each one says, I'm being makna all my nechassim. And you're saying to him, be zoicha in these two shtaris and in everything that goes in them on behalf of Reuven and Shimon, my slave. So that works.
How can you both of them make all the nechassim?
They're not. What effectively happens, that's what we're saying, each one does get half. But each one gets half, and in particular, each one becomes a chetzi eved b'chetzi ben chorin, and he acquires half of himself as a ben chorin, and he acquires half of the other guy as an eved.
As you said previously.
Okay, so the Gemara says, wait a minute. If you're talking about Vazah Chazah, it doesn't work. Vishleim Vastra Leikoni. Okay, I can understand. The second one is not going to be Koyin anything. Darkoni Leikam. Because if you're going to say it was done Vazah Chazah, one after the other, then fine. I can understand. The second one, by the time he gets his Shtar, or by the time by the time the Shliach was Zoichen and on his behalf, the first one has already been Koyin all the Nechosim, including him. So what do you have? You have Reuben is now a Ben Chorin and owns all the Nechosim, including Shimon.
Too late.
Ella Kama, but what are you saying? There's a problem with the first one. Likni Napshe, Likni Elachavre. According to that, when you give the first one that says I'm giving all my Nechosim, including all my Avadim, to Reuben, that's fine. Why don't you say that Reuben was Kona all the Nechosim and Kona himself? So why are you telling me that neither of them is a Ben Chorin? Someone says, you're right, that doesn't work. Ella Machmar to Kedishanya Meikara. You're right, it's clear that we have to give one of the previous answers, any of the previous answers, either that we're talking about the whole thing versus Chesi Chesi. Machmar to means it's clear. The shortage is chiver, which means white. It's as clear as a white piece of paper. Like that, the Kedushan and Meikara, that has to be the way we explained it originally. So either that it's kuloi versus chesi, or that it's one star versus two star. Yeah. No, we can't use the Rav for that. That's the one we just slugged up. Rav Ashi gives a fourth answer. You know why in the second braisa it says that neither one of them is koyin to themselves? Not because of any of this that we're talking about, it's a matter of kuloi versus chetzioi, or one shtar versus two shtaris, or any of that. It's because in the second shtar, what is it? Let's look at the lashon he used. The first shtar, it said, hakosim nechosim l'shnei avod. It means he wrote two shtaris. He says, one says, all my nechosim go to Reuben, one says, all my nechosim go to Shimon, and that's that. In the second shtar, he explicitly says, avodai, my slaves. Implying, he still intends to consider them as slaves. So therefore, so Rashi says actually that it means he's making a mistake. He thinks that he's able to give them the chasim without freeing them, and he's wrong in that. Mashakana evet kana rabbi, and therefore nothing to do with it.
Giving them the chasim would free them automatically.
No, well, if he gave all the chasim, that's what we're saying, they're included in the chasim.
Right.
But he's under the mistaken impression, evidently, that he's able to keep them as avodim and have them own all the chasim, and that doesn't work. So therefore, no, they say...
He frees them and they get their chasim.
Or he doesn't free them, and he keeps them in the chasim, exactly. This is a different Gemara, actually, where Rashi explains differently that actually we had a related sugya earlier in the Masechta about a case where somebody gives all of the chasim or part of his chasim to a slave. Actually, we're going to touch on that in a minute in the Gemara over here. So there, Rashi explains that actually what it might be is he's doing it in order to flatter him. He wants him to think, look how highly I hold of you, I'm giving all my nechosim, and really, nothing doing, because he stays in heaven. Or in this case, it would be two of them, or whatever.
And if he wants to free him...
Then he would have to. So then, if he wants to free him, according to what Rav Ashi is saying, either he'd have to not use the word avodai in the shtar, and then we'd use one of the previous answers, that he has to give two separate shtaris, etc., or he would actually have to give him a get shichur, and then be mezakeh the nechosim to him. However, Rakhram says to Rav Ashi, is that the only reason? The Juma Avoda show your Kvar. Maybe he just means by Avoda. Maybe he doesn't mean. He says Avoda. He doesn't mean that they're right now my slaves. He means previously they were my slaves. Miloy Tanan, isn't it just like a case that we have in a Mishnah that we quoted near the beginning of the Masechta? We had a sugya about this. Hakosav kol nechosav la'abdi. If somebody writes a shtar giving all his nechosim to his slave, yotzal lecheiros, then automatically by that the slave goes free because he's included in the nechosim, so therefore he's koneh himself. We have this concept before that the same moment he received that an eved doesn't have a yad, he doesn't have the ability to be koneh anything on his own because Masha can't have a koneh rabbi. But the moment he receives the shtar, the same split second that he receives that shtar is the same split second when he has the ability now to have a yad.
With two,
that depends. We said if it was two separate shtaris, then yeah, each one of them owns half of the other. Yeah, well, no, but that's Rav Ashi was saying if he said avoda is the problem. But you have a braisa that says if somebody writes, wait. We're going to see. One second. No, we're going to see how. We're going to see. Let's finish the braisa. There's a mishnah. It's a mishnah actually. Let's finish the mishnah. Then we'll see how it's a contradiction to Rav Ashi. If somebody writes away all the chosim are going to my heaven, then he goes free. Sheer kalka culture, but if he left over any of the land, if he said I'm keeping some of the land for myself, then the Eved does not go free. Because
no,
we don't know.
He said, call the
person. Well, but he says, all my coffin except for such and such. Then the slave does not go.
The Mishnah says.
Well, that's what the Mishnah says. Wait, and Rav Shimon is going to disagree. One second. We learned earlier in the Masechta, we had a sugya about this. We discussed two possible reasons why that might be. One reason, which is what Rashi brings over here, because once we say that the master is keeping something for himself, maybe he also means to keep the Eved for himself.
He contradicts the Mishnah. He says one thing, and then he does another.
No, I don't understand. Who's contradicting the Mishnah? In the Mishnah itself, this person wrote all my nechasim except for such and such. But once he's leaving one thing, one thing. He does it. Sheer kalka kolshehu, if he leaves over any kalka, loyos to the chayrus, and the Eved does not go free. So that's what I'm saying. Rashi over here brings a reason, which was the Haba Amina of Gemara in the first Terek when we learned about this, that the reason is once we see that he left something out, then he may well have meant to leave out the Eved as well. In the end, the Gemara had given a different reason over there, actually. The reason is because a shtar shichur, a get shichur for an Eved has to be like a get isha. There has to be krisus, there has to be complete cutting off. There can't be anything in that shtar that's still, just like it can't be with a get, that there's still some rights left to the husband over the wife. The same way, it can't be that there's any rights left to the master over the nechassim. Rashi doesn't bring that over here, and Rabbi Akiva Eger has a long discussion in terms of Rabbi Akiva Eger and Mishnayos, why indeed Rashi uses only this explanation over here and not the other one. Anyway, Rabbi Shimon Omer, La'olam hu ben chorin. Rabbi Shimon says no, the slave would always become a ben chorin, he would always become free, even if the master had set up keeping some of the karka. Ad shiyomer, unless he says, kol nechassin esun el plani avi, chutz me'echa meriv eshvehen, unless he says that I'm giving all my nechassin except for 1/10,000 to them.
To be explicit.
Well, this is less explicit in a way, because the Tanakhama's case had been where he left over some kauka. Rav Shimon says, if he left over some kauka, that doesn't imply that he's leaving over the Eved. Rather, but if he says, without specifying what part of the Nechasim that I'm keeping for myself, he says, I'm keeping some X, you know, some point of a percentage of it for myself, 1/10,000, then we can argue that maybe the master is trying to say, you know what, this Eved is not, is as worth as little value to me as 1/10,000 of the property. So then we should say he means to keep the Eved as an Eved. But not if he were to leave over Kauka, because Kauka is not an Eved.
Isn't Eved considered like Arka?
For certain purposes, yes. But here, we're in the Tanakhama's case, when he said Shia Kauka culture, he said an explicit piece of Kauka. He mentioned a certain piece of Kauka, which doesn't include the Eved. The Tanakhama just says once he's leaving over one thing, he may be leaving out other things as well. Rav Shimon disagrees with that concept. Unless he says generically, I'm keeping for myself 1/10,000 of the property, which then we could say the Eved might be that 1/10,000, then he would become a Ben Chorin.
If he specifies already which type of Karka,
then the Eved still goes free. It implies that he only means that Karka, right, but not the Eved, right? Okay, so the point is, so according to the Tanakhama, if he hadn't mentioned anything about Karka, then the Eved would be Kona himself. Amai, the whole Eved Kokori Lei. Why? The expression in the Mishnah is a Kosev Kol Nechotav Adoi. And in Reb Shimon's case, you have Adshim Kol Nechotav in the Sumer Plony Avi. Presumably, the Tanakhama is not disagreeing with the formulation Plony Avi. He's just disagreeing about the business of Kauka versus 1/10,000. But he would agree that the Tanakhama would agree that a shtar written using the phrase Plony Avi is valid. So therefore, so you can't say Ella Avi Shoya Kar. So, but if the point is that the shtar is making him a ben chorin, that as soon as he receives the shtar, he's going to, that's where Rav Ashi is arguing that by writing Avdi in the shtar, he's trying to say, I want to keep him as an Eved, but we see from that Mishnah, we see from the implication of that Mishnah, that not.
It implies that even if he writes it in the shtar.
It means exactly what you're saying, Yaakov. It means right now, when I'm writing that shtar, he's my Eved. Later on, when he receives the shtar, he won't be my Eved. Yeah.
And he's also, I have to the intention.
Yeah.
To free
it. Yeah. So the same thing over here, Rafram argues to Ravashi, the fact that he writes Avodai in the Braisa, the fact that he writes Avodai in the Shtar, can't mean that he means to keep them as Avodim. It has to be then the objection to the Shtar, when we said that he writes plenty of Avodai, what the objection would be, why neither of them goes free, must be for one of the reasons that we mentioned before. Either it's one Shtar versus two, or it's the whole thing versus Chayti Chayti.
Why are we saying Avodai cannot mean that he intends to keep them?
Because we have the implication of that Mishnah. That Rav Shimon is saying that if he says, Kol Nechassin Esun El Plani Avdi, then that works. Only if he says, Chutz Me'echem Midriboy, does it not work?
Avodai
should work also, yeah.
I was under the impression Avdi works, but not necessarily Avodai.
No, there's no difference. Rav Shimon is saying there's no difference. Now the Gemara is going to go through some, is going to start talking about some various miscellaneous halachos that have to do with avodim, and we're going to see how they apply, how each of them applies, each in their own way, to a chetzi eved v'chetzi bet chorin. Now that we got through all the pros and cons, how it is possible for a person to become a chetzi eved v'chetzi bet chorin, the various scenarios, you have two shutfin and one of them freed him, or you have Rebbe who says that he can be freed half at a time, you have Rabba that's saying that even according to the chachamim, you can give half the eved away, or sell half of him, and free half of him, whatever it is. Now that we've established that there is such a thing, that there are scenarios of chetzi eved v'chetzi bet chorin, now we're going to go through various dinim and see how they apply to him.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, nochesher. Suppose that this eved, who is chetzi eved v'chetzi bet chorin, was gored by an ox. He wasn't killed. He was just wounded. So the chetzi eved, right? So, Yom Shal Rabbi L'Rabbi, if this happened, we said in the Mishnah, that, remember, we had this Hillel in the Mishnah at first saying that this Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Ben Chorin, for one day he works for his master, for one day he works for himself, and he switches back and forth, and then Beis Shammai argued, wait a minute, what about him getting married? They say, no, we have to force the master to free him, and he'll owe the other half of his value. So now, we say...
Everyone wants to get married?
We have to. He doesn't have a mitzvah of Puru Ruv. We had talked yesterday, he has a mitzvah of L'Shevet Yitzara. There's a more wide-ranging mitzvah which applies even to Avodim and even to Goyim, that the Eibishter created the world to be inhabited. So yes, the person is supposed to be getting married. In this case, a Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Ben Chorin, the Shammai argued in the Mishnah, has no ability to get married. He can't marry a Shivcha, because he's half free. He can't marry a Bas Chorin, because he's half slave. So therefore, we have to force the master to free him in order for that to... Yeah. Because he doesn't have period of Rivi, because since he's half Eved, then his children are not going to have Yichus after him.
Shevet
Yitzhara, that was a more wide-ranging mitzvah, which is that he has a mitzvah to make sure the world is inhabited.
Just to clarify,
he's talking about a Jewish Eved? This is an Eved Kanani, who's a quasi-Jew. He has to keep certain mitzvahs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Once he's free, he becomes a full-fledged Jew. Yeah, then he's chayav all the mitzvahs. Yeah. If this Eved, if he was gored by an ox and wounded, Yom Shal Rabbi L'Rabbi, if it happened on the day that he's working for his master, then the payment goes to his master. The reason why the Gemara is talking about a shur is because if a human being had wounded him, that person would be chayev in up to five different payments. Nezek, Tzar, Ripu, Shevet, Boshes, we'll talk about it a little on Amud Beis. But if with a shur, no, if it's a shur that did the wounding, he's only chayev in Nezek, nothing else.
No
doubt. Well, I don't know if it's because he has no doubt, but whatever, it's because we learn from Sukkim that the concept that the other thing, Tzar, Ripu, Shevet, and Pershas only apply to a person, and that's the way it's written in Parashas Mishpatim. So Shur is only Nezek. So if it happened on the day when the slave is working for his master, then the payment of the Nezek goes to his master. Yom Shal Atmei L'Atmei. If it happened on the day that belongs to him, that he works for himself, then the payment goes to him. Now, Tosfos points out this would only work according to the Mishnah Rishonah. This would only work according to Bezalel's original opinion, because if we're talking about after Bezalel conceded to Beit Shammai that, you know what, we have to force the master to free him, then soon the Gemara is going to talk about it. On other days, we're going to talk about a case where he is free, but he still needs to get shichur. That would be this case, according to Beit Shammai, which Bezalel agreed to them. Once we're in a position where we're going to force the master to free him, effectively he's already free, he just needs to get shichur. No, but that's the point. We wouldn't say that on alternate days he's still working for his master anymore, and therefore we wouldn't say that on alternate days the payment goes to his master. Exactly. That's called Merukab Get Shechru. We'll talk about it too. So that's the thing. On that day, he's able to require it for himself. Actually, there is a Yerushalmi that talks about this, that says what's going to happen the next day, though, when he goes back to working for his master the next day, then that money is going to go to his master, because on that day, Kol Mashkona Eved Kona Rabbi. They talk about that Or Gemara disagree with the Yerushalmi on that. Maybe indeed Or Gemara disagrees with that and says the fact is, since on this day he was full fledged Ben Chorin, then he can't say that anything. No, he didn't write to get Shifu.
So
because on that day he's a full fledged Ben Chorin, the next day he's a full fledged Eved. Yeah.
As far as Parnassus
is concerned. Yeah.
But not as far as Nezek is concerned.
No, as far as Nezek is all part of Dinim Omenes. Yeah. Wait, the Gemara's going to talk about it in a second, what about him getting married, but wait. Anyway, Tosfos says that there still could be cases, even after Bezalel conceded to Beis Shammai, there's still cases. First of all, if the Eved is owned by a Kohen, then Beis Din can't force him to do anything. We talked about that the other day. Second of all, if it's not an Eved, but a Shivcha, A shifcha, there's no problem, because a shifcha anyway doesn't have a mitzvah of privy reviv, yeah? So therefore, unless we had a case the other day in the Gemara, and we're going to have another case later on about a case of a shifcha that people were being mezana with her. We're there. We force the master to free her in order that people are not mezana with her. But ordinarily, there's no need to. So therefore, you could still have our Gemara would still be relevant even according to the final halacha. There are still cases where it would be relevant. Anyway. By that logic, if you're going to say that on the day he's free, he's considered completely free, and on the day he's a slave, he's considered completely a slave, why don't you say then that on the day he's working for his master, he can marry a shivcha, and the next day when he's a bechorin, he can marry a bechorin? Maybe. The answer is it's sort of like Kamrinan. Well, you can't say Isser. An Isser can't be split up like that day by day. But Mammon, yes, Mammon can just like he works for himself one day and for his master the other day. Yes, the same way the payment for his nezek can be one day to him and one day to him.
So you could say you give half the day, half for him for the next day, and half for
you. No, because we do it day by day. We don't split the day itself. Come, let's try to bring another proof. A bright says, Hamis Mishachetti Eved Chetzi Ben Chorin. What happens if this Shur killed an Eved? Before we were talking about he wounded him. Now we're talking about he killed him. Now the Pasuk tells us that if a Shur kills, kills an Eved, then there's a knas that's paid. You don't figure out the actual value of the Eved and pay that amount. There's a standard fee that the Torah says, 30 shkolim. 30 shkolim you pay for this Eved. So now, the Bright says, Noisen Chatzi Knas L'Rabbe, in this case, this person is a Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Ben Chorin, you give half the Knas to his master, Chatzi Kof of the Yoshev, and there's two different things involved when a Shur kills a person. If it's an Eved, the Pasuk says the standard 30 Shkolim are paid to the Eved's master. If the Shur killed a Ben Chorin, a regular free Jew, then what it is, if it was a Shur Amud, then there's Koifer involved. Then there's Machloikas in a few places in Shach, and Baba Kama notably, whether the Koifer is Dmei Mazik, the value of the person who owns the ox, or whether it's Dmei Nizik, the value of the person who was killed. Whatever it is, that amount gets paid to the dead person's heirs. If it's a Koifer, it's not just a Kapara for the owner of the ox. In this case, this person is Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Ben Chorin, half of the Knach, 15 Shkolim, goes to the master, and half of the koifer, half of the value of the mazik or the nizik, as the case may be, goes to the yoshim of the eved. Who are the yoshim of the eved, by the way? The eved on the face of it doesn't have any yoshim. We'll talk about tomorrow. Anyway, so amai, the point of the question is, so why would we say that? Why wouldn't we say, why are we saying that half of it goes, that half of the knas goes to the master and half of the koifer goes to the eved's heirs? Why don't we just say that if it happened on the day he's working for his master, then the whole knas goes to the master. If it happened on the day he's working for himself, the whole koifer goes to his heirs. The answer is shiny hacha the kokalia kaina. Yes, but that's different. We're talking about over here where the keren, the slave himself, is now dead. There's no more. The master has no more ability to get any more work out of him. As opposed to when there was nezek before, we can talk about it. He still has ability to get work out of him. It's just he's been reduced. There's been damage done. Therefore, we should say that it depends, that since he's working for his master one day and for himself the next day and going back and forth, then you can say that today and 2 days from now and 4 days from now, etc., his master is going to have full ownership over him. Whereas in the case of here, he was killed by the Shur, that's it, he's dead. Therefore, that could be a different case. The Kaliya Karen means the Karen, the principal is gone. As opposed to before, the principle still continues to exist. The Eved is going to belong to the master every other day. And the Peres, the work that he does, is going to belong to him every other day. Here, the Keren itself, the Eved himself, is dead.
That's where it goes.
Okay. The El Ahechi Domit Deloy Kokalia Karna. Fine. In that case, then what's a case where the Keren is not gone? What is a case where right now there's damage to the Eved, but later on, the master in the future will still be able to get Peres for him? The answer is eventually koal yodiv samsa yodiv saif salachta. Fine, you could have a case, for example, where this ox wounded the Eved's hand. His hand dried samsa, or actually says yovsha. His hand dried up the saif salachta, but eventually it's gonna recover. So eventually he's gonna be back to normal. But meanwhile there's a nezek in between. Meanwhile, we have to figure out if we were to sell him right now in this condition, how much less would he be worth? So now, if this happened on the day that he belongs to his master, master, then the whole then that whole amount has to go to his master. If it happened on the day when he belongs to himself, then the whole thing goes to him. Okay, the Gemara says, Hanichal Abaya. Okay, that works out well according to Abaya. Drama Noisim Hashavas Gdola Hashavas Ktana. He says that. Now, there's two. Again, when it comes to nezek, when it comes to nezakin, when it comes to injuries to a person, there's up to five different kinds of payments that have to be made. We learned about this in Ksubas. We talk about it a lot. There's nezek, the fact that the person is worth less. There's tsar, the pain that was involved. There's ripui, the amount for the doctor's bill. There's sheves, which is the fact is right now the person can't do work at all. So there's two different things. Nezek is there may be something that permanently he's not going to be able to do some kind of work ever again. If his hand got chopped off, he's never going to be able to do any kind of work that requires two hands. Sheves is right now he's laid up in the hospital. He can't do any work. And there's boshus, the embarrassment. Now, so nezek versus sheves are both, they're sort of the same thing. Both of them have to do with him, with his ability to work. Nezek is permanent and sheves is temporary. But therefore, so we can call them sheves gdola and sheves ktana. The Gemara calls them here, and in a few other sugyas we have this concept also. We had this concept also a few months ago. Maybe it was earlier in Kitten, I don't remember now. We had this concept of sheves gdola versus sheves ktana. Sheves gdola means nezek, and sheves ktana means sheves. The fact that he can't work at all now. Now, so Abaya holds that in a case like this. What you do is there's two things. There's number one, sheves ktana. You consider that right now, for example, okay, he may never again be able to do work that requires two hands, but right now he can't do even work that requires one hand because he's laid up in the hospital. That's sheves ktana. And then, in addition, so you have to pay him for that. And then, in addition, you have, once he recovers from that and is able to do easy work, the example in the Gemara is watching a cucumber field, So during the time up to that, you pay how much you would pay a cucumber watchman, although a very small amount, as long until it takes him to recover. Once he recovers and then he's permanently injured, then you figure out the nezek, the permanent change in value.
So over which period of time do you figure out the nezek?
So the nezek, that's the thing. You figure out at this point, how much would he be worth if you were to sell him right now. So according to Abaya, you figure out both those things. You do both of those things. If one person injures another one, you figure out both of those things in that way. Shapir. So then, okay, then we understand that there is nezek involved over here. So therefore, so again, it's not kal yakarna. The eved is going to heal again. He's going to be going back to normal. So therefore, we're talking about then that you're paying the two kinds of sheves, sheves dola and sheves tana. You're paying to the master. According to Rava, who says that actually, since he's going to recover, there's no nezek to be paid in this case. Nezek would be if it was a permanent thing. So, in other words, what Abaya is saying is like this. So you have, he was injured on his hand. For a week, let's say, he's laid up in the hospital, he can't do any work. During that time, you're paying him sheves ktana, you're paying him the fact that he can't even watch a cucumber field. Afterwards, he feels better. He's able to do that for a while until his hand completely heals, and then he can go back to the old work that he was doing. During that time, you pay him nezek. Says Abaya. Rava says no. You just each day you figure out how much sheves there is. So the earlier days he can't work at all. So therefore, you're going to be paying the full value of what he could have worked had he not been injured at all. Once he recovers enough to be able to be a cucumber watchman, then let him do that and get paid for that, and you pay the difference between that and whatever he would have done had he not gotten injured in the first place.
It amounts to the same,
right? No, it doesn't amount to the same, because according to Abaya, you're paying him two kinds of damages. You're paying him nezek, and you're paying him sheves. According to Rava, you're just giving him each day that day's sheves. So high shoru. But in this case, this is a shor. But so that would happen if it was a person who had injured him. But in this case, we're talking about a shor injured him. The shor and mshalom ela nezek. A shor does not pay sheves at all. If a shor injures a person, there's only nezek to be involved. In this case, according to Rava, there should be no nezek because there's no permanent damage. According to Rava, nezek is only permanent damage.
According to Abaye, it includes
In other words, according to Abaya, yes, it's true, eventually he's going to completely recover, and then he's going to be able to go back to work. But meanwhile, the fact that he can't do his original work, that counts as nezek. So then there's nezek to be taken. Counts as nezek.
And
according to Rav, it doesn't count as nezek because there's no permanent damage. All there is Shevis. All there is
Shevis Ktana for Rabbah.
So there is Shevis Ktana, fine, but we're not calling it Shevis Gdola and Shevis Ktana. They're all, according to Abaya, there's two different things. You're paying Shevis and you're paying Nezek. According to Rabbah, in that case, you're only paying Shevis. You're only paying for the fact that he can't work right now. There's no permanent damage to be paid for. In the case of a Shur, you don't pay Shevis at all, you only pay Nezek. So according to Rabbah, what Nezek is there to be paid? The answer is both same actually called Adam. Fine, one thing you could be talking about, that we could say that we can talk about a case where the person injured him, where then fine, there is Shevis to be paid. So Rava will say that Shevis will go to the master if it was on the master's day and to the slave if it was on the slave's day. The both same or another possibility, remember, well, look, this whole thing about the Shur that injured an Eved, this whole thing, it wasn't a Mishnah, it wasn't a Braitha, it was a statement by Amarayim. Remember the Rabbah, the Spirit of the Rabbah, is allowed to disagree with that. He's an Amora, he can argue with other Amoraim. So fine, he doesn't hold of that being. It's not a contradiction. No, he would say, in other words, not a Mishnah. He would say that the case that we talked about, where Shur injures an Eved, and the Eved is going to fully recover, Rabbah would say, in that case, there's nothing to be paid. You're telling me that if it's on the master's day, it goes to the master, and if it's on the Eved's day, it goes to the Eved? Rava would say, I don't know what you're talking about. There is no, for this purpose, there's nothing to be paid. There's nothing that's going to be paid to one or to the other. There's only Shevis over here, and a Shur doesn't pay Shevis. Okay. So now the Gemara has a question. If you have an Eved who the only thing he's missing is a get shichur. Now Rashi says there's a mu'ukav means he's held back. He's still the get shichur has been held back from him. It hasn't been given to him yet. So Rashi says we can be talking about a variety of cases. We've had over the last few blocks, we've had a lot of cases of an Eved who de facto is free already, the master has no more control over them, but de jure they still need a get shichur. Rashi says this, for example, the guy was Makdish his slave, the guy was Maskew his slave, the case of our Mishnah Chetzi Eved Chetzi Ben Chorin after in the Mishnah Achrona, where we say that you force the master to free him. So in all these cases he is effectively already free. But he doesn't have a get shichur yet. So yesh l'knasa in l'knas. In that case, if during that time before he gets the get shichur, if a shur were to kill him, would the master get the 30 shkalim or not? Do we say the pasuk says kesef shloshim shkalim yitin la'adonu v'am rachmana? The pasuk says that you give 30 shkalim to his master, the high lot adonu, and at this point he's not his adonu anymore because the kinyan kesef, the monetary kinyan on him is already gone because he's master or makdish or whatever him. Or maybe not. He doesn't have a get shichur yet. The adon still has a certain relationship with him, sort of. We said that he's, to a certain extent he's still considered an eved in the fact, for example, that he can't marry a bas chorin. So maybe in that case, that's enough for this person to be considered his adon. Toshma, a braisa says, Hemis mishi chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin. We said before that if a shur killed somebody who was a chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin, noisim chatzi knas l'rabi v'chatzi kofer for the yoshav. You give half the knas to his master and half the kofer to the eved's heirs. So my lav k'mishna achrona. Now wouldn't that be presumably according to the mishna achrona, meaning after Beit Hillel agreed that you have to force the master to free him? Nevertheless, though, as long as the get shichur has not been written, the fact is the master owns half of him, and therefore that's what the braisa would be saying, that you have to give half the knas to him. That's as well as Commissioner Rishon, and not necessarily. You could say that braisa is talking about according to Basil's original opinion, where they said that this thing of him being half free and half slave could continue indefinitely, until Bishamah pointed out to them the business about him getting married. So therefore, yes, according to Basil, in Mishnah Rishonah, then yes, we could say that in that case, yes, it makes sense. It's going to continue on indefinitely. So sure, if it happened on, so sure, since we said before Kal Yakarna, there's no more Eved after this, therefore, fine, you make one final payment of a half knaf to the master. But in Mishnah Achrona, you could say maybe not. Toshma, come let's prove from another case, the Braisa says, if a master knocked out his slave's tooth or put out his eye, which the Pasuk tells us in Parshas Shabbatim that those are things the Eved goes free because of. Actually, we're talking about he did both things. He knocked out his tooth and he put out his eye. So Yotze B'Shinoi, he goes out because he goes out free because the master knocked out his tooth. V'noisin D'mei Einoi, and he also has to pay, means he goes out because of his tooth. V'noisin D'mei Einoi, and the master also at the former master also has to give him the value of the eye. Has to pay him the value of the eye. Now, V'yamet Yesh Le'Knas Knas L'Rabbi. Now, going back to the question we had about the 30 shkolim, if you were to say that the knas in that case goes to the master as long as the get shikur has not been written, then think of it. If somebody else were to injure this eved, we said before the payments would go to the master. How is it logical to think that the master injured him while he's still an eved, and now we're saying he would have to pay him, when if anybody else had done the same injury, it would go to the master himself? So obviously, then that seems to prove that the knas does that the knas does not go to the master. Therefore, in other words, even though he's get shikur, once de facto he's free, and as in this case, for example, the Torah tells us that as soon as his tooth is knocked out, he's free. Therefore, that would be why the master would have to pay him for the eye. And going back to the 30 shkolim, same thing. If de facto he's free, if the master was machter him or what have you, he wouldn't get the 30 shkolim.
He wouldn't.
And the Gemara says not necessarily, because Dilma Kamandama ain't it sorry. No, because actually this Braisa might be according to the opinion that in the case of Shein V'Ayin, you don't need a get shikur. The Tanya, as we learn in Braisa, the Kulon, now the Pasuk only mentions tooth and eye, but there's actually, the Gemara explains in Kedushin, so we'll learn in a few months, Bez Hashem, that there are actually 24 other parts of the body which, if a master damages them on the slave, he goes free. They are all the ones, the Gemara learns it from Sukkim over there, they're all ones which are the tips of organs of the body, such that, for example, a fingertip. When you look at a fingertip, you can't see the sides of the finger all at the same time. That has relevance also as far as the halachas of tzaras, Rashi brings over here, that, for example, if there was a michya, if there was a spot of healthy skin on the end of a person's fingertip, that wouldn't be metamehim, because you can't see the whole michya at the same time. Those are also the parts that if a master knocks them off, cuts them off, or whatever, of an eved, then the eved goes free. They are... We learn from Sukkim, that's the same kind of thing. But we'll learn it in Kedushin in a few months, Bez Hashem. But they are, so you have the fingertips and the toe tips, that's 20. The tip of the nose is 21. The earlobes, those count for this purpose as 1, it's 22. Those count as 2, so 22 and 23. And the tip of the male organ is 24. And the Gemara also says they are woman's nipples also. So anyway, so all of those, Eved Yotze Behem, so the Kulon Eved Yotze Behem Lechavis, with all of those, a slave would go free if the master knocks him off. But Tzorach Get Shichur Merabe, and then he also needs a Get Shichur, Jibre Rebbe Shmuel. Reb Meir Emei Tzorach. Reb Meir says he doesn't need a Get Shichur. He's automatically free even without one. Reb Elezer Emei Tzorach, Reb Tavron Emei Tzorach, Reb Akiva Emei Tzorach. Those who sit in front of the Chachamim and try to reconcile and try to reconcile the various opinions. Rashi says he doesn't know who they are. One of the Achronim talks about they may be the Talmudim who sat in front of these Chachamim, Shimon ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Shimon Atimni, and a couple of others. Anyway, Omim, they say Ninan Divir of Tarfon Meshem V'Ayin. It seems more logical to follow what Reb Tarfon says if it was Davka the tooth or the eye. The Torah is because the Torah explicitly says that the Eved is Zoycha in his freedom with those. The Divir of Akiva, Bashar Yavarim, it seems more logical to say like Rav Akiva that you still need a Get Shichru, even though the master knocked one of the other 24 things off. Bashar Yavarim, with the other Yavarim, Holo Knas Chachamim, because there's only a Knas of the Chachamim.
What do you mean a Knas?
Hokroi Kardashin, and we're doushing from Sukkim that those 24. Ella Ema Holo Medrish Chachamim. Fine. But we can still say differently because it's a medrash of a chacham. And the pasuk explicitly mentions only shein v'ayin. It's by gzeira shava or whatever it is that we learn in the Gemara over there that we learn in the other 24. Therefore, shein v'ayin, they want to say the ones that explicitly say in the pasuk are stronger than any of the other 24. So the ones that say explicitly in the pasuk, he would automatically go free without even a get shichur. The other 24, if he knocks off one of his fingers or what have you, then he'd need a get shichur. That's what they're arguing. So therefore, the Braisa that said, the case where the master knocked out his tooth and also his eye, we were saying you have to pay him for the eye, that might be because we're going according to the opinion that he doesn't even need a get shidhur in that case. As soon as he knocked out his tooth, automatically he's free. Tosfos points out, actually, Rabbi Natan said in Tosfos, it's not really, why would we make a distinction between the ones that say in the Pasuk and the ones that not? Tosfos says it would actually be Rabbanan, because when it comes to Shein V'ayin, Tosfos says like this, why are we distinguishing between what it says in Deoraisa and what it says in Medrash Chachamim, and what we learn from Medrash Chachamim is just as binding as what it says in Torah Shavasav. No, Tosfos says like this. The reason is like this. Because if the master knocks out the Eved's Shein or Ayin, his tooth or his eye, he knows it says in the Pasuk that the Eved goes free. There's no possibility that later on he's going to meet him one day and say, hey, what are you doing over here? You're still my Eved. Whereas if he knocks off one of the other organs, even though it's true, the halacha is the slave goes free, the master may not realize that. He may one day meet him and say, Abdiata, and then as we said yesterday, there'll be Moitzi Laz, who'll cause that people are going to bring this person's Yichus, and then Yichus, therefore you need to get Shidhur. In order to avoid that problem.
It's free, but in order to...
But in order that to... So in other words, even without that, he'd be mutter b'chur, and it's only because of lies. That's what Rabbi Natan is saying, yeah. But anyway, the point is, you still can't prove one way or the other from that whether in fact the mu'uk of get shichur is whether the master would receive the knas or not.
Because it could
go either way. There are two different opinions. So in fact, the Gemara leaves that hanging, and in fact, the Rambam paskens that the master does not get the knas, because usually in cases where you have a suffix like that, a suffix of hamoyt mechavrol of araya, if the master wants to collect that knas, he's going to have to prove the halacha is like the opinion that he would, and he can't do that. So therefore, yeah.